Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namasami. Today I'd like to read from the Anguttara Nikaya. This is Book of Ones, Sutta 98 and 99. They're very short. Among internal factors, bhikkhus, I do not see even a single factor that leads to such great harm as heedlessness. Heedlessness leads to great harm. Among internal factors, bhikkhus, I do not see even a single factor that leads to such good as heedfulness. Heedfulness leads to great good. Okay, so internal factors here probably means like when it comes to things we ourselves do, okay? Like it's something we caused, something we did, as opposed to external factors, you know, what our neighbors are doing, what, you know, the government is doing, what every external force in our life, you know, what our wives and husbands are doing, you know, that's external to us. Okay, so this is one of those great suttas that is interesting to think over. You know, even though it's short, it leaves a lot of, shall we say, breathing room to think how this applies in our life. Okay, there's many ways to apply this. Now, you know, what does this heedlessness and heedfulness apply to? Now, when you're a Buddhist monk or a nun, obviously you're trying to attain Nibbana. And it makes sense to think about it in ways about, you know, how can we practice more skillfully? What can we do to attain Nibbana? How can we meditate more skillfully? Or how can we develop various spiritual qualities more, which help us towards Nibbana? Okay, so this sutta is likely going to be viewed in that light when you're a monk or a nun. Or if you're a lay person as well, you know, if you have a meditation practice and you aspire to attaining some factor of enlightenment, even as a lay person, you know, whether it's Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, it's actually said that as a layperson, you can attain, at least in the early Buddhist text, you can attain all the way to Anagami as a layperson. Anagami is like non-returner. Although to attain full arhantship, that's for the Buddhist monks and nuns who ordain. But Anagami is amazing if you can get that much. So right at the time of your death, you attain Nibbana. That's just as good. At the time of death, and you never even ordained. So even lay people can see this in a these suttas, you know, applying to spiritual practice, applying to our lifestyles as we try to integrate these spiritual lessons into how we live, our decisions, our daily habits. Now, what I wanted to just briefly touch on as well is, so this sutta, in talking of heedlessness and heedfulness, that can apply to really anything in our lives, not just spiritual aspects of our life. It can also be just anything commonsensical. Anything commonsensical can be done heedfully or heedlessly, okay? So if you lose the keys to your car and you're in a hurry, you need to get to work, you lost the keys to your car. Well, that was heedless. If you were heedful, maybe you would hang the keys right by the door on the little hook where you normally put it or wherever you put them. Okay, so it applies to all kinds of things like this, common sense things. One of the biggest lessons that I am grateful for in my own monastic life is I learned this one from a John Brahm. He especially teaches all of his monks and also the nuns. He says, "Do one thing at a time. Do one thing at a time." We live in a world now that wants to make us very busy all the time and do like kind of multitask. There was this buzzword in like the 1990s and onwards to multitask, like on a computer or whatever. Do lots of things at once. But it turns out if we care about heedfulness, we will just do one thing at a time. And when I began to take that seriously in my monk life, my mindfulness went way up. I made way fewer mistakes. My life became much more sane, much more collected. Before I ordained, I was, if you would have met me back then, I was quite a scattered person. I was doing usually two things at once, and sometimes poorly. Sure, I was doing two things correctly, but I was doing some third thing wrongly. You know what I mean? Or some third thing I was not catching. I'd have car keys in one hand and a book in the other, and then some pot on the stove was boiling over, and all over the floor, and that kind of thing. So yeah, heedfulness can apply in so many ways that are just kind of like commonsensical. And my mom has this phrase she likes to repeat, and I agree strongly. And she says, "Common sense is not common." Common sense is not common. And I think what she's referring to there is, like when she was born, like she was born on a farm, and there's a lot of things you learn growing up on a farm, a lot of common sense, living a more country life. She was born in an area of Canada which this farm was so far away from this other cities that they didn't even get electricity till the 1960s. One of the last places to get electricity. And and it's amazing to think that in just the short time of her own life, how much things have changed. Like now she lives in the city. Just like everyone here, and it's kind of unthinkable to have a life with no electricity anymore. It's impossible to even think of this. How do we even, could we even go one day anymore without electricity? We would, if all these cell towers turned off, we couldn't get to our WhatsApp and our YouTube and our Facebook. Oh my goodness, what would happen? Just WhatsApp alone. If WhatsApp went down and SMS texting went down, just think of that. Yeah, so what common sense includes, you might say, that has changed so much now. I got a funny little story. I met a young man in Australia. He wanted to ordain. He was like these white-clothed kind of postulants we have here. He wanted to ordain. So he's a generation younger than me. So he was in his 20, early 20s. I'm in my mid-40s. And he was going to come to the monastery where I was staying. And this monastery was a little hard to find. You had to go out of Brisbane about, a half an hour by car. But he had no car, okay? And he was able to hitchhike a ride partially there. But he had to walk the last, 10 kilometers or so. But he's like, well, that's nothing, you know. That's easy. But then what happened to him was the battery in his smartphone died. Like, he needed that for his map. You know, he had Google Maps in there, but then, the smartphone died, no map. Then he got lost. Like, seriously, actually got lost. And he had to sleep overnight in the woods. He had brought some food to offer the monks, but he ended up just having to eat that food himself. You know what I mean? Like this is from just his smartphone dying. And you know what I mean? Like, someone from my generation, this would utterly not happen to us, you know, because common sense would be, well, you know, have a better plan than Google Maps, you know? Because we come from a time when we use maps, or we just had a stronger sense of where the streets were, or where, you know, like, it comes across as a lack of common sense for that to be such a problem. He was okay. The next day he did find his way. It did delay him from getting to the monastery about 2 weeks, though. Like, he went back to Brisbane. He knew the way back to Brisbane, so he went all the way back, you know, and made another try in a couple of weeks. He did eventually get there. And I guess it's when you live in a monastery, it's an extremely interesting study in what common sense includes. You know, if you how can I put this? There's a lot of rules when you live in a monastery. Rules about what to do, what not to do, when to do it, how to do it. And monasteries have their own common sense, you might say, because they're trying to integrate a lot of the ways of living that you find in the suttas. A lot of ancient customs, which most people don't really do anymore, you know. Just like that young man, he didn't have a paper map with him and got lost because he just figured his smartphone was enough. So there's quite a you would be surprised if you live in a monastery how much time and energy it takes just to get everybody to understand the way that life works there and how the common sense is, and then heedfulness, that becomes what heedfulness is. You know what I mean? That's part of the training. That's part of your mindfulness development there. Yeah. So, and even from culture to culture, the common sense is different. Okay. So I went back to Canada for a month recently, and their sense of common sense might be a little different than what you do here. You know, many things are going to be the same, but there's quite a few different things there too. It's a different climate. It's a different, people come from a different background, etc. What heedfulness kind of applies to, it can change culture to culture, country to country. We should obviously try to be sensitive to where we are and what people's values are, and have, you know, try to not offend them for what their common sense includes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, so this, anyway, these suttas, why I really wanted to just read them is, it's one of these examples. Do you know this term, carte blanche? It's a French term, carte blanche. So carte is like a card, like a cardboard, like thick paper. You know, this is kind of like a card. You know, like playing cards when you play, you know, poker or whatever. Those are cards. So the French word for that is carte, like C-A-R-T-E. And then blanche is white. So it's white card. And it refers to, I won't get too much into the history here. But to be brief, carte blanche means like granted free license, okay? Like if I say, like if somebody asks me, well, what drink would you like to drink today, Venerable Subaru? I'm like, oh, you know what? Anything's fine. You have a carte blanche. Go ahead and make whatever you like. It's free license to pick whatever they want. Okay? You know, it's like open choice is granted. That's what it means. So this sutta is a carte blanche kind of a sutta as to what heedfulness applies to. Okay? This sutta doesn't nail us down to confining the definition of heedlessness and heedfulness to only spiritual matters. Okay? We're not nailed down. We can open this definition up to apply to any commonsensical thing. Okay? Like not losing your car keys or whatever. Okay? Or how you use a map to find somewhere when you're driving. You know? Just have some sort of map. You know, if your phone battery's low, you better have a power bank or whatever. Plug it in your cigarette lighter, or, you know. Have a plan, all right? That's common sense. Yeah, so, you know, that's heedfulness if you have that common sense. Okay, so, yeah. I guess it's just interesting to think over what does common sense include, and it can change, and... you know, if you have that, you're heedful. And if you can apply that in spiritual practice, all the better. Okay? Being heedful in your meditation, being heedful in your any kind of spiritual development, that's good too. Very good. Okay? All right, so I'll just conclude with that. And okay, any questions? No? One, okay. Yes. What was the Pali word here? Heedlessness is a pamada. Pamada. That's heedlessness. And I think the heedfulness, I think it is a pamada. Like an absence of heedlessness. Yeah. And... yeah, well, I don't want to get too much into a Pali kind of analysis here, but just before I gave this talk, I was quickly looking up some of the Pali words on my computer, and the Pali word there is pamada for heedlessness, and I'm pretty sure it's a pamada for heedfulness. So if you really want a technical definition, that's the Pali word to look up. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember all the Pali words offhand there, but yeah. Anyway. Yeah, well, I should probably conclude here for now, but does that help? I can point you to the Pali word, and yeah. Well, definitely, yes. Mindfulness is going to be part of that, absolutely, like sati. But I would say we must also include sampajanya, sati sampajanya. Yeah, probably sampajanya is the even better thing here. Like sampajanya is like not only are we paying attention, you know, that'd be sati, but we have a sense of what to do, what is appropriate, what is applicable in this place and time. You know what I mean? Like sampajanya is knowing that you should put your car keys on the hook when you come in the door, and then when you need the keys later, they'll be there on the hook. Like, and you kind of have a system, which is to put them on the hook. You know what I mean? Like sampajanya remembers the system. It's kind of like do the right thing. Sampajanya is like do the right thing. It's commonsensical. Yeah. Well, yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, people who have better mindfulness are certainly going to be more heedful. Yes. Or we would hope so. We, you know. But there are lots of people who, you know, they might have great mindfulness, but they just don't really do the right thing. Their common sense is kind of weak. You know, maybe they're just a little too idealistic, or they're a little too scattered, or they're, I don't know what. They kind of just have different priorities than everybody else around them, even though they pay attention a lot. You know, if they pay attention at all, they're mindful. But if their priorities are in line with everybody else's and they're cooperating and they're on the same team, then they have sampajanya. It's like, yeah, like they are aligning with everybody else's common sense. Yeah. Yeah, mindfulness is a big part of it. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is an interesting topic, but I'm reluctant to really nail it down quite as simply as you know, as just saying mindfulness kind of contains it all. It's kind of a number of factors working together. Yeah. You know, some people have fantastic common sense, but they get distracted easily too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so maybe their sampajanya is great, but their sati is not so good. And, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, whatever area that we're weak in, hopefully we can strengthen it, you know? Yeah, it's kind of separate skills, and we can give names to these separate skills and then try to improve them. Yeah. Okay, let us now invite our departed relatives, friends, and all beings to rejoice in the merit we have made. Let us recite together. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Eta wata cha amhehi sambatang punya sampadang. Sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Let us make an aspiration for Nibbana. Please repeat after me. Idang me punyang asawakaya. Wahang hotu idang me punyang nibbanasa pachayo hotu.